Welcome to Holistic Trauma Healing, a podcast that empowers you to heal trauma in the same way it has affected you as a whole person. I am Lindsay Lockett, your host. I have discovered a profound path to healing trauma that allows us to move out of the role of victim and into the role of empowered and conscious creator of our best possible reality. I offer hope, healing insights, and practical tips as you get to the root of how trauma has affected every part of your existence and how to weave a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. Hey, Tammy, it has been another season and you are back to talk about what is happening in the sky from the summer solstice to the fall equinox. And I just want to encourage everyone, if you haven't heard, Tammy has come on the podcast. This is, what is this, your third or fourth time on the podcast?
Yeah.
You are my most repeated guest.
I love it.
Yeah. Congratulations. But Tammy came on for the first time. We didn't plan it this way. It just aligned this way. But Tammy came on the first time and that episode aired on the winter solstice. And So then I was like, hey, do you want to be the resident astrologer for the podcast and come on every solstice and equinox? And she was like, sure. So she was on again in March for the spring equinox. And now here we are. It is summer solstice time and you're back. So I just want to say thank you. I personally, after the spring episode, of course, I listened to it while I was recording with you and while I was editing it. And then about halfway through from the spring equinox to now, the summer solstice, so like end of April, I guess, I listened to the episode again. And you reminded me during that episode that it's a good time to be journaling. The spring equinox to the summer solstice was a good time to be journaling. And so I took you seriously. I got myself a new notebook and some new pens, and I started journaling, and I've been journaling every day. And so much inspiration and creativity has flowed through, but also I've had so much anger come out while I've been journaling. Sometimes to the point that my pen, I couldn't write fast enough and I would just scribble furiously, just like scratching furiously across the page. And there were many days when I was journaling and feeling so angry and also sad at the same time. And I would like have a release of crying and of tears. And I feel like I got some shit out. Like I got it out of me and onto the paper, and it feels so good. So I want to thank you, first of all, for the way that you not only tell us like what's happening, but also like here's how you can move through it. And the journaling was such a good recommendation. Also, in that episode, you recommended, I'm probably going to butcher this, so if I do, just tell me, but Venus was hidden for a lot of the spring. And I believe it was like end of April, beginning of May that Venus started to make herself seen again. And your counsel was, don't start any new projects. Don't get married. Don't make any big financial decisions. Like just hang on until Venus makes herself seen again. And so my husband and I did that. We basically were like on pause until the end of April, beginning of May. And I tell you what, when Venus was made known again, I even forgot that Venus was coming out again, but I've gone back in my journals and I've looked at the dates. And right around the first, second, third of May, I was just filled with so much inspiration. I was ready to work on new projects. I started writing a workshop that turned into a course that I'm getting ready to release. And had someone, I haven't even shared this with you yet, we had a company reach out to us, and this was right around the end of April, and they made an offer to buy my food blog. And the crazy thing is that I never even made it public that I was open to selling my food blog. I just had, I'd put it out into the universe. Like I'm open to selling this. I'm holding it with an open hand, ready to let it go to the right person if and when the time is. Of course, I told my husband, but I didn't tell any of my food blogger friends. I didn't share it on Facebook. I didn't go out looking for a buyer. I just randomly woke up to an email one morning, and this was at the end of April. And so we're still like in the process of that. But anyway, really exciting things have happened. And I feel like I'm so grateful to you for coming on and sharing your wisdom, because you helped guide a lot of what I've been doing over the last 3 months. And I don't know much about astrology, but I'm a believer mm-hmm. in it. And I just want to thank you for your work.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that with me, Lindsay. That means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we can, you know, really be in sync with what's going on in the sky, and if we can even look at the sky as often as possible, then life can be pretty magical, because we're not going against the currents. We're going with the flow. We're not swimming upstream or swimming downstream. So it can be pretty powerful and profound. I love that.
For sure. So mm-hmm. I'm ready. I have my pen here. I'm ready to take notes. Let's talk about what's happening from the summer solstice to the fall equinox.
Yeah. So just like you said, we are in a new Venus cycle, and this 18-month Venus cycle began when Venus was birthed in late April in Aries. However, she was squaring Saturn. This cycle may feel a little bit restrictive, and we may have to work harder as whenever it comes to love and money. So whenever she was birthed, she was in a tense aspect to Saturn. But in the ancient mythology, Saturn loves Venus. So it's not a detrimental cycle. It just means we're going to have to put more effort into those Venusian parts of life, art and finances and business and relationships, beauty, those sorts of things. But yeah, so a little bit harder work. And then, like you said, Venus actually entered Taurus, where she loves to be her home, at the beginning of May. And that's when you started feeling that upswing of effects, because she was at home. And so that really helped a lot of us in business and in money. And so the birth of the Venus cycle, so the birth of Venus in the sky is going to affect her whole 18-month cycle, this next 18 months. And now that we're recording this, that was April, May, June. So that was 2 months ago. So the next 16 months is going to be affected by this Venus square Saturn in Aries. So we do want to be more careful of our finances. Don't make any rash decisions. And just be sure we really put forth Saturn rewards long effort, like between the tortoise and the hare. This is the story where the tortoise is always winning the race. So that those small steps day by day in the direction of our finances, for our relationships, those sort of things. So Saturn's going to reward that hard work and effort made every day. So this isn't so not the sprint kind of work, but the long work. And we're also in the middle of May and June, we've had two eclipses. So May 26 is a lunar eclipse in Scorpio. So both of these eclipses are on the Scorpio and Taurus axis. So those of us who have prominent points like our sun, moon, midheaven, or ascendant in a sidereal, Scorpio or Taurus, are going to feel this effect the most.
So in sidereal astrology, my sun is Taurus and my moon is Scorpio. So you're saying I'm feeling these eclipses a lot.
Yeah. And the effects of these eclipses for 3 months to 3 years. The eclipses are basically portals that allow something new to enter or to be exposed and opened up. So
what types of things in, like, for a Taurus and Scorpio eclipse, what types of things are revealed?
With an eclipse, it's always a very dramatic event. So the ancients were actually afraid of eclipses because they brought about great changes. And we only have 4 eclipses this year, which is normal. Last year we had 6 eclipses. So it was a more dramatic year, but we're still feeling the effects of that. So we don't want to watch the eclipse. That's number one. Back in ancient times, only the astronomers who were also priests, would watch the eclipse so that they could record it for everyone, so they could write it in the diaries and the horoscopes. Don't expose your food or drink to the eclipse, or eat or drink during eclipse. It's a great time to meditate. So there's plenty of apps where you can see, online calculators where you can find exactly the moments of the eclipse. And they're not very long, just a few minutes. Some only 1 minute, sometimes it'll last an hour. But we're still being affected by the 2020 eclipses. And the last one was on the stinger of the scorpion. So we still want to watch out for poisons, so to speak. And it made for a hard year last year, and we're feeling the effects of that going on through this year and beyond. This axis of Taurus and Scorpio has the stars Regulus and Antares and Aldebaran, which are the stars of Sirius power, and the axis of money, the axis of the constellation of Perseus, who was the guy who cut off Medusa's head. So they're not positive for the financial markets. So we want to be extra cautious as far as money goes during this cycle.
And by this cycle, you mean solstice through equinox. Is that what we're saying? Or is it longer than that? Like the Saturn cycle?
It's longer than that. So it's all year as far as this goes, at least this year, if not beyond, and at least the next 16 months, the Venus cycle, right? Mm-hmm. So Venus has an effect on that. With the May 26th eclipse that we just had and the June 10th eclipse. So Rigel, the star of Rigel, is on Orion's belt, the star of money. So that solar eclipse that we just had on June 10th is going to have an impact on governments and rulership, the world's finances. They may be pushing towards a new financial system. So Jupiter is helping a little bit, but he's in a bit of a weaker position. And the May 26th lunar eclipse can bring up, it's not in necessarily benevolent degrees, because it is on the fixed star Antares, which is a very powerful star, but it's in Scorpio. It's on the belly of the scorpion. So it can be pretty dramatic, but Venus, Mercury, and Jupiter are all helping. And the good news is Mercury is actually visible during this eclipse and helping. So that one's, it's not going to be too bad, the May 26th eclipse, or we're us feeling the effects of it shouldn't be too bad still.
Yeah.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. On the solstice, well, June 21st, Mercury, or the 20th, it depends on where you are in the world, around that time, Mercury goes invisible again. And Saturn goes retrograde. So we do want to be more cautious when Saturn is retrograde, because whenever a planet is retrograde, it is a bit stronger and we can feel the more negative effects of that planet. And Saturn is already a planet that has a tendency to have more malefic effects if we aren't in the flow of the Saturn energies, which is Saturn rules. It rules any rules and restrictions and government and work, career, just really putting forth, like I said, that when I was talking about Venus square Saturn, that daily effort, like Saturn only gives rewards whenever you make the effort. Saturn is definitely, it's the opposite of luck. It's hard work. And so Saturn retrograde can make it, the hard work a bit harder and take longer. Saturn is the father of time. So, and going retrograde, things can take even longer. So it teaches patience. When with Mercury invisible, which Mercury is invisible about 88% of the time, but going invisible on the solstice does predict what the next 3 months is going to be like. And with Saturn going retrograde there too, Saturn will be retrograde for about 5 months. So we are going to have to be more meticulous, just really take our time and be patient with things and do the hard work. And then we'll get rewarded whenever Saturn goes visible again, if we do it right. And then June 23rd, Venus goes moves from Gemini and into Cancer, we'll find more happiness whenever we spend more time at home during that cycle and with our family. June 23rd, and Venus will stays in a sign for about 3 weeks. And then we have a full moon, June 24th in Sagittarius. And that full moon, let me look at that full moon chart really quick. So the full moon in Sagittarius it's an helpful aspect with Jupiter. Jupiter is actually stationing. Jupiter will be the strongest planet in the sky at that time, being in Aquarius and being on the fixed star of spirituality in Aquarius, Fomalhaut. So that full moon will feel, what'll be supported during that time is any kind of art and spirituality, anything like that. So I highly recommend that being your focus during those days, the day before, during, and after the full moon. If you have any spiritual practice that feels, you know, really expansive to you, then that's going to feel really good. It's going to help us, and it's going to help you in the next cycle, which is during the next month of that cycle. And
I feel like we're 4 days into this cycle and you've already dropped so much.
Yeah, right?
I'm just taking furious notes. Mm-hmm. Watch out for Saturn. Work harder. Be patient. Be meticulous. June 23rd for 3 weeks. Be at home with the family. And then for those 3 days around the full moon, do a meditation. Do some witchcraft. Do some art. Be creative. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone listening, if you take notes about these things, you can write it on your calendar. Mm-hmm. On June 23rd, I want to do an art project, or I want to cast a spell, or that's why this is so practical and so applicable.
Yeah. So that full moon, you can totally do some work around your beliefs, around the beliefs of others. Foreign travel and foreigners will be highlighted. So definitely take advantage of that full moon. It's going to be a beautiful full moon. And then let's see. Yeah. Jupiter goes retrograde right after that. And with that fixed star, Fomalhaut. So that'll be a really strong period between that full moon and that Jupiter retrograde, like about June 23rd to 26th. Ish, and even a couple days after that. Yeah, a beautiful time for art and spirituality. So June 28th, Mercury goes visible again as a morning star. And Mercury as a morning star is also more artistic. So that's, if you know anything about your Greek mythology, that would be, that would represent the god Apollo in the sky. And he's the one who, he gave Hermes astrology. So he's, it's the higher mind. It represents the higher mind in connection with God or with God consciousness. Mercury will be visible then June 28th. And with that fixed star Rigel, which I think I mentioned earlier, was the point of the eclipse. And the star of money, that's the star of money. It's on the horn of the bull in Taurus. And so a lot of research will be supported too during that time. When Mercury goes visible, it's definitely a good time to do your research. When Mercury is invisible, your research can be a little deceptive. So there's a lot of mixed information out there, of course, as we all know. So really, take a look at when, and you can actually see in the sky, you can go outside and look in the sky when Mercury is visible or invisible. So Mercury will be coming visible as a morning star around June 28th, depending on where you are in the world. So June can be pretty unpredictable because of these eclipses that just passed. So I wouldn't take any important initiatives during that unpredictable month of June. I would wait for July for anything like that. And yeah, and definitely, and continue to be careful of any poisons, because later in the year, we're going to be feeling the effects of the other two eclipses later in the year too. And anything, use your discernment, really do your research during the visible Mercury times. And because these eclipses on the tail of the Scorpion later this year can trigger illness or death brought on by poisons taken in months prior. So just really be discerning with your research and be careful of poisons, and try not to be driven by fear. And July 8th, Mercury goes into Gemini, where Mercury loves to be. So with Mercury visible in Gemini, July 8th, communication is really supported and at an all-time high, pretty much probably the whole year, I think. Yeah, so during your research during this month of July, you're going to be really supported, especially early July, mid-July. And then we have a new moon, July 10th at 6 degrees Cancer. Whenever I say new moon, whenever we see that first sliver of the moon appear in the sky after the dark moon period, the couple of days leading up to July 10th is a good time to go within, and really not a good time to start initiatives when the moon is conjunct the sun. So the mainstream astrologers call the moon conjunct sun the new moon, but the moon is still black and dark and invisible and hidden. So you really do want to wait until you can see that first sliver of the moon. And that should be the evening of July 10th over here in America, in the US and in Cancer. So that can really trigger our emotions, and we can set new intentions and start new endeavors as far as being in the home and how we feel at home and where we want our home to be, at our homeland even. So wherever you live, really take care to just be mindful of that. And July 14th, Venus is conjunct Mars in the sky. So Venus and Mars are lovers, so that can be a benevolent time for lovers, July 14th. And that, again, is in Cancer. This is Cancer season, the time to be at home and with family, and near the home is really good and auspicious, and it's going to please a lot of our desires. So July 17th, the sun goes into Cancer. And then July 18th, Venus goes into Leo. And that's the place of, let me backtrack to Cancer. With that new moon in Cancer, that's also in a nebula. So that time leading up to that new moon, the couple of days before that, July 8th to 9th or 10th, and with the moon and sun being in the nebula of Cancer, our emotions can actually feel, and life can feel pretty nebulous in a way. So it could, which is a nebula in the skies, is like a cloud of stars in a sense. So be careful of clouded judgment, even though Mercury is in Gemini, we'll probably get our mind will probably work better after that new moon, after that July 10th new moon. So it's a good time to do that research, but don't come to any definite conclusions until after that new moon. Let's see, we were looking whenever we go into Leo season, which is July 18th, when Venus goes into Leo, and 22nd, when Mars goes into Leo. So they'll be traveling together in the sky, which is auspicious for lovers and for balancing the masculine and feminine. So after they were conjunct together in their home, in the sign of the home in Cancer, July 17th, or 14th, I'm sorry, July 14th, conjunct Mars and Venus. And then, so that would be a good time for making new commitments as far as relationships and business, and for going on dates, that sort of thing. July 14th to the 22nd-ish. Those are good times for that. And then we have the full moon in Capricorn on July 23rd, And I'm going to take a look at that chart and see what that's going to trigger. So that July 24th full moon is with, it's with Saturn, which is actually the strongest planet in the sky at this time because it is opposing the sun, which means it's at the acronomical rise, which is in a phase that's opposing the sun. So the sun is and the moon are like superpowering this Saturn and Capricorn. So we may feel, it may feel oppressive just these few days when the moon is there with Saturn. We may have some reality checks. That's a great time to have your reality checks. If it doesn't bring that about on its own, just go ahead and plan to just take a good hard look at what's going on in especially your work and home life for everyone, and especially those who have any prominent points, sun, moon, or ascendant or midheaven in Cancer or Capricorn, which if you're looking at the side reel chart, and if you are looking at tropical, then that's usually about 85% of the time that would be the Leo and Aquarius axis in tropical. So yeah, and let me see what's happening. That was July 24th. And then Mercury will go invisible and in Cancer when the sun goes into that Cancer nebula right after that, July 25th. Mercury does not especially like being in Cancer because Mercury is a fast moving planet and Cancer is very slow and watery and emotional and going invisible. So again, this is a great time to start writing about really clearing any emotional clutter starting July 25th and probably until Mercury goes visible again at some point later. But let's see. And then with the sun in that Cancer nebula, we can feel confused. It can be a time of confusion. And during this time, whenever Mercury's invisible or we've got prominent planets in a nebula, then sometimes we may feel like we are very sure of ourselves and we really know what's best. But later we can find that we were under a spell of an illusion. And that would be those nebulas and Mercury invisible times. So August 1st, Mars will go invisible, conjunct Regulus. So we may see those who are in higher position of falling from their high positions in a sense. So those who are rulers of nations, and this is actually with Mars. Mars is not a very auspicious planet. Mars is the sign of the ego and malevolent intention, or the planet of ego and malevolent intention. Of course, we all have Mars. We all need ego, but this is invisible Mars, which is just like a hidden aggressions and hidden ill intent put upon by conjunct the star Regulus, which is the star of royalty. So put upon by those who are in higher power. So we may see those coming to a fall, or more could be hidden from us that we don't see as far as in the hierarchy from our perspective. And it's going to be squaring the nodes of the moon, opposing Neptune and Jupiter, with Saturn at its strongest time at the chronicle setting, opposing the sun. So what that means is beginning of August and even late July, we may, let's see, how do I put it?
The world feels like a really unsafe place right now, doesn't it? Everyone is so divided against each other with binary thinking. Right, wrong, good, bad, black, white, Black Lives Matter or white supremacist, Republican, Democrat, everyone is divided. I think it's time for us to break free from the oppression of binary belief systems. In my new course, Belief Beyond the Binary, you'll learn how to identify binary belief systems, why your nervous system is so attracted to them, and how to break free from the binary and choose to show up in your integrity and authenticity by reclaiming your personal sovereignty. When you purchase Belief Beyond the Binary during my pre-sale event before June 24th, you'll receive 30% off the retail price of the course, and I'll gift you a free 3-month membership to my online community, the Trauma Healers Circle. Go to lindsaylockett.com/BBB to save your spot by June 24th. I can't wait to see you inside the course.
Don't believe everything that you see in the media, and try not to pass quick judgment, because there will be more deception as far as that goes. Anything that you can actually see on a screen may be deceptive. And with Saturn at its strongest at that time, I do want to say that Saturn, on January 20th, Saturn hit the horns of the goat, which is the most satanic spot in the zodiac. So January 20th basically marked a time when I would say satanic influences came into power, but these are always destined to fall. They don't last. So that's good news. But what's going on this year is that there's a lot of deception and we are being tested this year. It's a year of resilience. Whatever is not resilient in our lives is going through a test to see what is resilient. So as far as our finances, our career, our relationships, everything. So whatever's not resilient needs to be removed. It's a good time this year to find what is resilient and how can we make our lives more resilient, rather than looking outside of ourselves and depending on a system to support us, because it's not a resilient system. If it is, for example, depending on the government to take care of us, them to keep providing stimulus checks and have everything be just given to us and have Big Brother take care of us or our parents take care of us. That's not resilient. That's not long lasting. So we want to go into having a more resilient state of mind, more resilient life and relationships and finances this year. And this is going to come up even stronger in August. Be aware of that. And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's just some of us need to make changes, and the universe is wise and loving. You're always going to be supported in this as long as you are trusting in that higher power. And let's see, August 7th, Pluto's been retrograde for a while, since May. We'll go into Sagittarius. We may see our beliefs being tested even more. So Pluto will unearth what we may not like to see, but unearth the truth, regardless, as far as our beliefs go. And as far as dark beliefs go, that would be like the dark side of Sagittarius, is my way is the only way, as far as the beliefs go, right? Or really respecting others' beliefs and being open to alternative beliefs, and that others' beliefs may be true for them, even though they're not true for you, and that's okay. So backtracking into Sagittarius one last time, Pluto goes August 7th, and then we have the new moon on August 9th that'll be in Leo with Mars. And of course, that's an invisible Mars. So it's going to trigger even more. We're going to see even more of what I just explained during that new moon. It's a good time to really take care of our bodies and our egos, and really go within and have a good ego check within ourselves. Everyone has an ego. We just have to make sure it's not running the show. So that's a good time for that. And when Mars is invisible, also, it's a good time to take extra care of our bodies and watch out for, I don't know, hidden sharp objects is what comes to mind for me. Mars rules needles and blades and things like that. So we do want to watch out for those types of things. And you know what I'm talking about this year? That wouldn't come to mind so much in this day and age, but this year it is in the forefront.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. We'll let our we'll let our listeners read between the lines there, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then Mercury will go visible again as an evening star, conjunct Regulus, August 11th. So that is a good time to start coming into kind of a higher power as far as your mind goes. A good time to come out and really take a leadership role. Regulus is the star of leadership. It's a good time for us to take a leadership role after all this nebulous time of us going, doing all this inner work. If we did intentionally do this inner work during these times that I explained, then whenever Mercury becomes visible again, conjunct Regulus, then those of us who have done that are really going to be in a good leadership position. So our minds will be in communication in this place of leadership and royalty. So we ask ourselves, if I was queen, what would I do? If I was king, what would I do? Like a benevolent queen, a benevolent kind of royalty, how would I serve? So that's really, royalty is supposed to, in its most upright position, to be in a place of service to others. So that's a question to ask ourselves, and that's greatly supported right at that time. So yeah, so then Venus goes into Virgo August 12th and out of Cancer out of Leo and into Virgo. And so this is a time to be more discerning in relationships, and especially with dating new people. We're going to be more critical and picky and more discerning in relationships, but be careful not to pick someone apart to death. So be careful of the dark side of Virgo, which is really, yeah, picking them apart and being overly critical. So August 19th, Mercury will be conjunct invisible Mars. So it'll be we'll be triggering that Mars in the sky and invisible Mars. So we'll be able to see probably more of what's going on behind the scenes as far as the more aggressive and egotistical energies go. So that'll come to the forefront of our minds. We'll be able to actually see that with that visible Mercury conjunct invisible Mars.
Can you elaborate on seeing what's going on behind the scenes of aggressive and egotistical energy?
Yeah. So it sheds a bit of a light on, so invisible Mars can denote the dark side of ego energies, basically. So we are going to be able to be more discerning and maybe see things that we didn't see before as far as that goes. Does that make more sense?
It's still ambiguous, but sure.
So for example, you may have epiphanies during that time and big aha moments as far as like your own inner ego conflicts go and with others in relationship with others. So I think that's what that means.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we'll have a full moon August 22nd in Aquarius with Jupiter. So just like that new moon that we had, I think it was a new moon, but I talked about Jupiter conjunct Fomalhaut. So Jupiter's still there since Jupiter's slow moving right now in retrograde. And the sun will be with Regulus. The full moon will be opposed Regulus. So it'll be on that axis with that fixed star Fomalhaut, which is a very high spiritual star, and then opposing Regulus, which is the star of leadership. So they are leadership stars. So for example, the star Fomalhaut is in the sacred waters of Aquarius and pouring, it's like the most sacred spot on the whole zodiac right there. And it's the star of the high priest or the high priestess. And so that full moon on August 22nd in Aquarius with Jupiter there is going to expand on, it's a really positive energy, even though Jupiter's retrograde during that time. Jupiter is a benevolent planet and Jupiter blesses us. We can be, the only downside of Jupiter is that we can be overly optimistic sometimes or feel like that we're like really a lot luckier than we really are sometimes. But again, that's all based on your perspective, right? That's a great time during that full moon to, I would say, to really celebrate and to celebrate being in leadership roles, being higher minded, and or going towards that even more in our life. August 23rd, right after that, Jupiter's in a strong opposition to the sun still in that chronicle setting. So we're going to feel that on the full moon too. So yeah, that's going to be a really good energy during that time to, I think whatever we start during, if we, full moons aren't always the best time to start something, it can, because it can be a little bit unpredictable, but if you're feeling brave, which Jupiter can make you feel brave, that full moon is a good time on August 22nd to start something that has a lot of potential. And if you're not normally a lucky person, I wouldn't depend on Jupiter totally for this, but if you do find that luck is often in your favor, then definitely start something new during that time. And let's see. And then September 5th, we have Venus conjunct the fixed star Spica, which is a star of the high of the artist, but also the scientist. So it's a very spiritual star. And it's another priestly star, trining in a really positive aspect to Jupiter, Saturn, so Venus there. So anything artistic, any artistic endeavors that you may be involved in, or that you may, that's a great time for those types of things. It's a good time for any art or spirituality. And so we do want to be careful, because Venus is squaring Pluto at that time. So we want to be careful of being overly obsessive with our work or our relationships or controlling. So be careful of that, but that'll pass quickly. And then we have a new moon in Virgo. That'll be the last new moon of the summer at 4 degrees Virgo, with invisible Mars. So again, that's that first new sliver of the moon, and we can start any new endeavors as far as, I would say, that's a great time to start something as far as bettering your health or your body or any new healing modalities. That would be a really good time for that, to explore new healing modalities and begin those. And September 8th, invisible Mars goes into Virgo, which Mars likes being in Leo better than Virgo. So this is going to slow down the Mars energies. And, but also, again, it's still a great time to really honor our body, and a great time to, for more scientific research even. And then we have the full moon in Pisces, September 20th at 4 degrees Pisces. So this is a good time to actually give back to others for any charitable work. Pisces is the sign of charity and giving back. And that full moon, you really using that full moon to do that is gonna bless you going forward in all areas of your life. And we do it with the intention of blessing others, and whatever we do for others is gonna happen, is gonna come back to us times 10, or some say times 1,000. So that's September 20th in Pisces. And yeah, so I think that's all I have to say about that, because that's a really great place to end as far as the transits go.
Yeah, that takes us right up to the fall equinox.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Wow. Mm-hmm. I took 3 full front and back pages of notes.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I have all these things written down, and I'm going to add them to my calendar. And this is how I make astrology applicable to my real life. I'm a very analytical, very give me something tangible to do kind of person. Mm-hmm. And so this is very tangible for me to do, is I can say, what was it? Like from July 14th to the 22nd, you're like, I'll just put it on my calendar, go on a date.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was awesome, Tammy. And as always, I want to encourage our listeners to definitely take what we talk about here, like generally, but also to book a reading with you, because you will tell them things about themselves that no one else could know. At least that has been my experience. And I want to encourage everyone, please do reach out to her. She's really fantastic to work with. I've personally benefited from working with her, and I don't ever plan on making a big decision in my life without consulting astrology again, because it's just been that helpful and healing for me. So thank you, Tammy, for being here.
My pleasure, Lindsay. Thank you for having me.
We'll see you again in the fall.
All right.
Did you enjoy the show? Awesome. Here's what you can do next. First, make sure you're subscribed. Second, I'd really appreciate it if you took a few moments to rate the podcast. Finally, you can partner with me to keep putting this healing information into the world. For just $5 per month, you will help keep the show ad-free and freely available. If you want to go deeper and connect with me and other trauma healers in community, I invite you to join the Trauma Healers Circle. This community is where the magic happens. You get access to bonus podcast episodes, monthly Zoom calls, and most importantly, you'll find your people. Go to lindsaylockett.com/circle to join.